at this time or wanting to do with you is to equip you some more. Equip you some more. I think you guys have a real mission, a real, this, you know, God is going to do something with this place that will touch the whole of the North here. That, I mean, it's just so, you might not see it from where you are, but walking in and seeing all the talent and the energy and the people that God has put in here, it's not by accident. So yeah, this morning, want to just bring a word that will hopefully equip you some more and enable us to go further. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about the price that Jesus paid. Amen. Thanks, Bert. I want to talk to you about the price that Jesus paid. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like someone who found a pearl in a field. And what did he decide to do? Decided to buy up the entire field. And this morning, we're going to look at some pearls in our field of salvation. And I'm asking you to consider buying the entire field this morning. This thing is so precious. I'm asking you to consider this morning, when we look at these things, making a final decision, forsaking everything else, and buying the entire field. It's that precious. The price that Jesus paid. You see, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So we know and we understand that for our sins to be forgiven, Jesus had to shed his blood. So you and I did not deserve forgiveness, but he stood in our place and paid the price so that we could be forgiven. Forgiven of our sins so that we have the ability to come before a holy God and say, Father, here I am. I'm your child. So that we that were once not a people become his own people. And he paid that price on the cross. But then what happened is the Lord opened my eyes to see that salvation is made up of two parts. You see, he could have just gone to the cross and that was it. But he was battered and bruised. And the Lord showed me 10 times. And you will get revelation of other times. Of he deliberately, before the cross and on the cross, paid the price for complete salvation. It wasn't enough for him just for your sins to be forgiven, for our sins to be forgiven. He wanted to restore us back and equip us and give us everything. The Bible says he's given us everything pertaining to life and glory. He's just packaged everything. You know, we talked yesterday about a unique destiny. But he's not just a God that says it. He equips the saints. So we're going to look. And I'm asking you. Because for me, when I saw all these things, from a very early age, I made up my mind. I'm buying the whole field. I'm buying it hook, line, and sinker. There is no part of this salvation that I don't want. I want everything. It is so valuable. I promise you. Let's have a look. Now, at the Last Supper, and once again this morning, please help me out. If you have your Bibles, I need you to help me with reading. I'm not multitasking, holding the Bible, holding the microphone. Be a bit difficult. So would you please join me and just look for the scriptures? They're up there. So the one that says read. So Jesus explained at the Last Supper, he explained to his disciples, he said that his body will be broken and his blood will be shed. When we partake of communion, it is a remembrance and an enactment of the two parts of salvation. What's that? The shedding of blood. So without the shedding of blood, we couldn't have been forgiven. But you see, sometimes we do things without understanding. But when the priests break the bread, they are helping us to remember that his body was broken and battered so that we could also receive the blessings that came from that. And the curse upon man was broken by his body being broken. So we'll have a look. Can someone turn to Luke 22? Has someone got it? 15 verse 21. Please read.
Okay, 22. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far more sacrifices than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priests here on earth, who enter the most holy place year after year with the blood of animals. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once and for all, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own sacrifice, by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes the judgment.
So once and for all, and you need to get this straight, Christ has paid the price for your salvation. You need to, don't let people start pulling you this way, that way. He's done it. He has paid the price. You who and us and me who were not righteous before, he's paid for you. That's it. It's done. You can be comforted in that. He's paid the price for our salvation. You're his. You know, the Bible says that because of the first Adam, everybody fell into sin. Bible says that by the second Adam have we all been brought into righteousness. What Christ did is so powerful that it will keep you for the rest of your lives. Amen. He will keep you. You don't have to worry. He will keep you. He will keep you, darling, for the rest of your lives. But he went even further than that. Turn with me to the next slide, please. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2. Can I have the next slide, please? But the next slide, please. Yeah. Oh, the next one, please. In Hebrews chapter 2, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Sometimes when people say, do you want to be led to the Lord and repeat after me? And people just say it. They don't realize that it cost a great price to the Son of God. The price was incredible. So he says, how can you neglect such a great salvation? It wasn't free. Jesus had to pay a tremendous price. Could someone read Isaiah 53, verse 1 and 4? 1 to 4, please. Have you got it? Isaiah 53. Just begins to give you a glimpse of the price that was paid. I'm happy to hand out the mic. Anybody there? Isaiah 53? Please, yeah.
1-4. Who has believed our report? Unto whom has the arm... Yes. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him.
The price that the spotless Son of God paid for our salvation, the Bible records in Isaiah that his face was disfigured more than any man ever. That he was despised and rejected by the very people he came to love. You think you've been through something. You think you've had a hard life. The Bible records that he was rejected by men. And this is the God that loves us with everything he has. He was battered and broken. The record in the Bible is more than any man has ever, that you couldn't even look at him. You know, there's a film, The Passion of the Christ, which showed some horrific stuff. And according to theologians, that film cannot even begin to touch the actual physical damage that was done on Christ. A sinless, spotless man who did no wrong, who went about doing good, battered, despised. The salvation we have, when you go, I receive Christ, the price, it cost a lot. It costs a lot. This morning, I'm sorry, I have to tell you the truth of this because we have to take our salvation seriously and we have to make decisions. But the good news is he paid the price so that we can walk in victory. And you'll see that as we go along. Can I have the next slide, please? So, it is actually good news. That's the part that's, you know, it for me, it chokes me up because it's like, you know, in my heart, I think I'm a fair person. So the principle of somebody who did nothing wrong, you know, carrying all the weight of sin, that to me is like, what, how, why, you know, but here's the good news. He was very deliberate because God, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. When God asks us to do something, he equips us. He doesn't leave us, oh, just go and that's it. So sometimes when Pastor Rob and I hear men of God who talk about, we're going to go and we're going to affect the community, we're going to do this. And sometimes you think, yeah, that sounds good, but I've got problems, I've got issues, I've got a thing. You're on your own, mate. But God will fill you up because you cannot give what you don't have. God will equip so that he doesn't sound as great. God will give this congregation the ability to affect this community and this nation. So the first curse that I looked at that he broke. Can someone read Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19? Amen. Listen to this. This is good news. I promise you. Listen to this. So the curse was when Adam ate the fruit, then, and God pronounced the curse. He said, from now on, the ground, it will be very hard for you to live. Thorns and thistles. When you're working, things will just be so difficult. By the sweat of your brow shall you live. life will be so difficult. To make a living will be so difficult. You'll have to keep toiling and sweating and your efforts, and the more you dig, you know, it'll be difficult. 2,000 years later, in another garden, Jesus, the Bible says that as he was praying earnestly, some theologians say that his blood vessels burst. And in the same, in a garden, the blood started to drip on the ground, paying the price for the curse in Genesis 3, which said, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat food. So by him paying the price and the blood dropping down, guess what? You and I now don't have to sweat to eat. Some of you are looking at me thinking, what is he saying? You and I now, other people will be struggling. How am I going to get by today? How am I going to get by tomorrow? That is no longer our portion, because of what Jesus did in the garden. I am a living witness to that. Remember what I said. You have to buy the entire field. If you don't believe it, it's not for you. But it's the truth. It's recorded. Jesus has paid the price so that life for us doesn't have to be a struggle. Now you say to me, what does that mean? Life is still a struggle for me. I still have to get up and pay the mortgages, and I still have to go look for a job, and I still have to. So here it is. You were doing that on your own without an understanding of your covenant and your rights. Now that you have heard this word, you have a right to go before God in prayer and say, Lord, I know from your promises that Christ has paid the price for me, so that when I walk into a place, it's not going to be hard. I have favor. So that when I begin to work, here's the key. Lord, you've paid the price. This thing is not going to be difficult for me. Please help me. Then God is compelled to come on the scene and ensure that his promise is fulfilled in your life. Here's the truth. When I got revelation of this scripture, I thought, are you kidding me? You mean that it's not supposed to be so difficult? I'm not supposed to be struggling to earn a crust. So what I started to do was I started to say, Father, I'm about to go here or to go there. Your word says this. Please bless me. Please provide for me. Please give me the breakthrough. I started to stand on this word, and I promise you, my mom is here, some of my people. My life, so my thing, it's not that it's been, but I've seen one door open after another. It's just like this. Just like this. And it's one of the things that I walk in, is that I'm very relaxed in my business, in whatever. There is no sweat. I'm not there. It's not me going, how's this going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to... It's like, God, I know you have this. That's what you promised. Now I want to see it in my life. So in fact, when I see struggle begin to happen, I take two steps back and I think, what's going on? This is not of God. Because for me, it's easy. And he gets the glory. He turned around and he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm telling you, if you find that you're struggling so much, take two steps back and say, Lord, what's going on? You said your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Will you do it for me? Do it for me so I can relax. That is part of the promise I've come into. Christ has gone before me and paid the price. Listen, you have to speak these things. You can be a king. You can be related to the queen, and if you don't enact your power, if you don't know your rights and stand in front and say, look, you go into Harrods or something and you say, I want that, I want that, I want that. And they go, who are you? Where's your money? I don't have money. I just want it. You go, how? Who? But I promise you, if you're related to the queen and you say it, they'll say, take it. It's got her stamp on it. They'll say, take it. We'll charge it to the duchy or whatever. You just walk around with confidence, knowing who you are. Christ paid the price so that we don't have to toil. Please think about that. Think about that. Because a lot of us spend so much time toiling that when it comes to time for ministry, our heads are not in the place. You say, what do you mean ministry? I'm spending 18 hours a day trying to make ends meet. That's not what God has provided. That's the truth. I'm standing here. I'm not the only one. So many people are walking with no sweat. God's provision operating in their life. If you didn't know before, now you know. You start to pray it and operate in that. Amen? Let's look at the next promise. This is good news. Yes, it was bad news that, and it makes you sober what he did. But for us, it is good news that we are not helpless. He has paid the price so that we can live victoriously. The next one, please. Can I have the next slide? Can someone read for me, please? John 14:27. And then someone get ready to read Matthew 27:29 and John 19:2. Please, can some thank you. They put a crown of thorns on his head. But he made a promise to us. I give you peace, which the world doesn't know. Peace that cannot be comprehended. He can say that because he paid the price. They put a crown of thorns, pressed it into his head, so that you and I can have peace. Anytime you start to be troubled, think about that. Christ has paid the price for my peace. When he says, peace that the world cannot understand. You know, there's some times where it's like the hymn, when peace like a river, it is well with my soul. The writer of that hymn had just lost all his family. His wife, his children died in a sea accident in the 18th century or something like that. And his reaction was to start writing that song. It is well with my soul. There is a peace that the world cannot understand, that no matter what happens to you. And the reason why peace is important, you can't function. You know, it's like a footballer or someone who plays sport. When you're relaxed, you can stroke it in. If you're all nervous, you can't hit the goal. Peace is so important for us. But remember, he paid the price with a crown of thorns for our peace. The next one, please. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 and verse 7. Can someone read that, please? Isaiah 61. Come on, we're going to do this together. Amen. If you've ever felt shame, if you've ever been embarrassed, think on him. They spat in his face, slapped him and said, prophesy. Who slapped you? Oh, you say you're... They put a reed in his hand and mocked him. Have you ever felt shame? Have you ever felt this big? Felt really small? Felt I'm unworthy, I'm nothing. The Bible says that we have a high priest who is acquainted with everything we go through. He's been there. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, and they're slapping him, mocking him, prophesying. Do you know, one of the greatest shame you could do, it's like in football, if you spit in someone's face, just spit. It wasn't one spit, a whole battalion of Roman soldiers. These are the elite force of their day. These are the Marines spitting on his face. Come on, think about this. He paid the price so that you can keep your head high. Nobody can pull our heads down. Nobody. When you go for a job interview, when you go, just remember, he's paid the price so you keep your head up high. When you read Isaiah and he says, I'll give you double portion, double honor, he can say it because he's paid it. Will you believe it? Will you buy into it and start operating in that? That's how I live my life. I don't care who you are. I don't care. I will walk into anywhere and I'm standing like this. Doesn't matter if I have a penny. Doesn't matter if I have a million. You know what I'm talking about. I'll walk into anywhere on planet Earth. And I'm standing in my full height. This is what God has called us. I mean, we come to a place where people will go and pick it about anything, about this and that. And as Christians, we're cowered in shame. Ooh, I don't want them to speak bad about me. Not sure what they're going to say about me. Don't want them to know I'm a Christian. God will expose you anyway. They'll know. I play golf and I was playing with someone one time and he said, he just came out with it. He goes, I know you're a Christian. I said, well, how do you know? He said, the whole club knows. I haven't been going around telling them. How do they know? Which makes it double difficult to move my ball or cheat. They all know. They all know. Where's the shame? Let's take away the shame so that when pastor says, let's go, you go. With your head held high. In your place of work, hold your head up high. You're the daughter of the Most High God. Hold your head up high. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Nobody puts you down. The next one. Psalm 91. These are great promises. If you ever come to that place, go back to the promises and remember the price that has been paid. Psalm 91, verse 5 and 6. Anybody with a booming voice like Pastor Rob? Can't match him. Who's going to have a go? Amen. It is beautiful. Go on. To 6. Can you read it again, please? Amen. You know, one of the things that makes us sicker is fear. When you start operating in fear, fear at night, fear of what could happen at night, fear of, that's why I love to see people, it's Ivy, isn't it? Can I say your age? Years old, and yesterday she was baptized in the water. What's that? Thank God he lifted you up. 90 years old. Come on. Come on. She wasn't afraid. Ooh, what about this? She was making a public declaration for Jesus, 90 years old. And look at this. He can tell us, don't be afraid of terror by night, sudden things, sudden. Why? Because he's paid the price. Imagine being blindfolded. That's what it records. He was blindfolded. And this battalion of Roman soldiers slapping him from different angles and going, who struck you? Just think about that for a moment. You know how terrifying it is to be in the dark. They blindfold him and they're hitting him from different angles. That's terror. Not a single disciple was at his side. They'd all run away. There was not a single person that was there to help him. All alone, in the middle of the night, and they're using him to just batter around. So when he says, don't be afraid, the terror, he understands. He understands that if you get afraid in the midst, he understands, he's been there. He's paid the price. He's paid the price. Don't be afraid of sudden diseases. That psalm, I used to read it, sudden diseases, pestilence. Might happen to other people, but not you. Because he's paid the price for you. And you've bought the field. You've bought the field. If you don't buy it, it's in the field. It's been done. But it's not working for you. Next one, please. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. I need someone to read this nice and loud. Pastor.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed.
Have you ever... You've heard that so many times. So when men of God are, you know, administering healing, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, or you are healed. What does it mean? What does it really mean? There are two types of whips the Romans used. And what was recorded in the Bible is that Jesus was scourged. They used the flagellum, or they used the cat o' nine tails. The cat o' nine tails is the nicer one. That's a leather strap, a whip with nine leather thongs, and they embed bones into it. So when it hits your body, it tears into the skin. The flagellum, and that's a nasty piece of work, that had lead tips that would rip into your body and had many strands, and they would whip it, and it go round the entire body, and they pull. When it says, by his stripes, you are healed. Don't take it lightly. He really took away the sickness. He really took it on his body. So that when we approach communion, so that when you say, I am healed by your stripes, he paid the price. And what I love about that scripture, it didn't say you were healed. It said you are healed. Which means today it is still working. What he did all those years back is still working today. So whenever there's any attack or anything with your body, you say, no. He paid a tremendous price so that I could be free. I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting this disease. I'm not accepting this illness. Can I tell you, it works. I used to be in hospital a lot. My mom is here. I used to be in hospital a lot with one thing or other. The minute I caught hold of this revelation, and I would stand and say, no, that's not for me. No more hospital. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't had the odd challenges, but I'm from a place of health. I'm from a place, it's an anomaly for anything to come near me. And I recognize, I said, no, go away. I can't be ill. Christ has paid the price for me. When we come and take communion, it is a remembrance. The Bible says something. It says, regarding communion, it says that because many in the church have eaten it in an unworthy manner, not discerning the body of the Lord. And people say, oh, it's because they're just talking or because they have sinned. No, because they haven't discerned between the blood and the bread. They haven't done it with an understanding of, I am enacting what he has paid for me. It says, for that reason, many are sick and some even die amongst you. It's not talking about unbelievers. It's talking about Christians. When you step up to this table and the bread, which symbolizes his broken body, if there's any illness, as soon as it goes in your mouth, sickness must go. You need to believe it. Will you buy the field? Will you buy into it? Try it. It works. Listen, there are people who take communion every day. And I asked one couple, they're in their 90s, and I said about communion, and they looked at me and said, no, we take it every day. They said, Jerry, it's got no side effects. Take as much as I want, it's got no side effects. Every day, the blood, the bread, in remembrance of what he did. Why? The Lord said, do this as often as you will. And in the old church, they used to go from house to house, breaking bread. Have a bit. The Bible says, none sickly. You need to believe. Listen, anything happens, first thing you do, reach for the bread and the wine and the blood. Just whether it's Ribena or whatever you're using, it's the enactment. It's your faith latching on and saying, by his stripes, I am healed. I am healed right now. Amen. Another promise, 2 Timothy. Anybody, 2 Timothy 1:7. And then I need someone to read Mark 15. Would you please read, Gene? Have you got 2 Timothy 1:7? Anybody there? And Mark 15:9-20. Please make a habit of, because these promises are in the Bible. So if you don't know it, it's like the analogy we've just said about the field. So I've gone and I've started looking for more pearls in the field that I bought. But there are people that are walking all over the field, not a clue that there's gems. Where do you find these gems? By searching the scripture. Start to look. If I told you now that it's available on Google... But you know what? The good thing is, it is available on Google now. So sometimes what I do is I go, if I'm thinking of a scripture, I check it on Google. That's how I use Google. I check it on Google. What about that scripture? And then I check, what have they said about that? I check the commentaries, I check that. And if it's there, and it's a promise from God, that's for me. That's part of the field I bought. 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, another translation says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but peace, love, and a sound mind. How many times, you know, if sometimes life hits you and you feel as if you're going out of your mind. And the worldly recommendation may be, oh, check into this rehab, do this, do that, do that. But God says, as a promise to you and I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you peace, love, and a sound mind. And he has every right to say that, because in Mark chapter 15, 19 to 20, they hit him on the head several times with a reed. Now, you think reed, little light thing that was bending. No. A reed, the translation of reed in that time is the staff, is a staff made of hard wood. It's horrendous. It's a staff made of hard wood, unbreakable stuff, really strong stuff. That's what a group of soldiers was smashing over his head. So when he says, I've given you sound mind, he knows what he's talking about. He's paid the price. And you can stand on that and say, nope, I'm not having it. I have sound mind. Amen. The next one. They nailed his hands. And Psalm 90 verse 17 says, anybody there? Whatsoever you touch, you lay your hands. So you begin to confess. Psalm 90 verse 17. And sometimes you're like, it's not working. Everything I touch, it's not working. But his hands were nailed so that it will work. So when it says, Lord, establish the works of my hands. Whatever I lay my hands on, it will work, because Christ has paid the price for me. And it's the same thing with his feet. With the next one. They nailed his feet. And in Joshua he says, wherever your feet shall tread, you shall possess. When you go in for a job interview, when you go in for a business somewhere, Christ has paid the price that wherever my feet shall tread, I possess. You go with that confidence. Wherever my feet tread, I possess. Because he's paid the price. He's paid the price for it. God is not giving out glib promises. He promises and he pays for it. So that we can walk with confidence and possess it. Amen? Yeah, I like this. John chapter 14, verse 1. And if anybody has in the message, I think I might have to. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Has anybody got that, please? No, John chapter 14, verse 1 is whatever translation you've got. Amen. It's the part where he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Metaphorically and physically, don't let your hearts be troubled. Because he's paid the price. They pierced his side where his lungs and his heart was. Don't let your heart be troubled. In the message in Psalm 31, it says, have you got it? Please go.
I hate all this silly religion, but you, God, I trust. I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. You saw my pain. You disarmed my tormentors. You didn't leave me in their clutches, but gave me room to breathe.
Lungs? Any problem with the lungs? Giving you room to breathe. They pierced his side. Now remember, with all of these things, he's paid for our sins already. But these extra things that happened to him paid a price for our complete salvation. You can fill up your lungs and praise him. If you ever have any problem with your lungs, Lord, they pierced your side. So that I might be free of this lung disease. So I actually, when I was looking at this research, and There's actually a huge amount of stuff written on this about lung cancer in relation to what the scripture says. So, and as we begin to walk in the promises of God, there's a lot of people getting healing, walking in health, by declaring these promises. He's paid the price for your lungs so that you can breathe, so that you can, some of you that are singers, so you can sing again, so you can continue singing. He's paid the price, so go for it. There's nothing worse than maybe someone has paid for you for an extravagant holiday and you go there and you're just, no, I won't have this, I'll have the cheapest thing. And it's all paid for. But he says he's given us life and life more abundantly. You need to live abundantly because he's paid the price. If you're going to sing, sing with your whole lungs. Going to shout, shout. Don't let your heart be troubled. Who cares? Just go for it. Hallelujah. And then I was asking the Lord, I said, you said 10 times, but I haven't. And in Matthew 26, 28, can you please read that as well, Pastor Rob, please, as we round up. So, of course, his blood was shed for the remission of sins, so that we are also free from the guilt of our sins. He has now brought us into a place of righteousness where we stand before him because of what Christ did, to declare Abba, Father. And we have access to that God. And you know what? The price he paid, they stabbed him in the side, the Romans, at the end. And all the blood came out, and the scientists say, so that at the end, water started to come out. Because all the other fluid, the blood had all drained out. All the blood had gone. For you and I to be free. What a great salvation. So that today we can walk with our heads held high. But the offer is today, seeing you have such a great salvation, will you neglect it? Or will you buy it? So I want to invite Pastor Rob. The offer is today. Today. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't turn away. Let's not mess about anymore. We're making a final decision for the Lord to go all the way because of this price. We're buying the whole field. We want everything he has for us. Bible says, scarcely will a righteous man die for his friend. But Christ showed his love in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. I promise you, nobody can love you more. Nobody can love you more. Some of us, you know, whether it's looking for a life partner or you want people's affirmation, people's love. This is the person. This is the person who gives it all. Amen. This is the person who says, even if a mother could neglect her own suckling child, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is a person who paid it all for just for you and I, and will do it again. And if it was only one of us, he'd do it. How can you not respond? How can you not respond this morning and give him everything? The Bible says in Romans, it's our reasonable sacrifice. It's only reasonable. Pastor, would you please come up? Please, I want every head bowed, eyes closed. We want to make a decision this morning.
So, many of us have made that decision, and we have chosen a long time ago to walk in his footsteps, to follow Jesus. But if what you've heard this morning, which is the word of God, has penetrated you and has quickened your heart, and you know that today is the day that you want to walk that way, you want to choose Jesus Because the Bible says we're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it does say the wages of sin is death. But we have just heard Jesus paid those wages. And the free gift that he offers you this morning is eternal life in him. So if you've never made that decision and you think today's the day, you can feel your heart beating out of your chest, you know, then I want you to just raise your hand and just say, yes, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, I see that at least three people who have come to be with Jesus this morning, who've given their heart. As you raised your hand, can I tell you that God saw your hand? I saw it, but God saw it. And instantly, you were translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. As you made that decision in your heart, if you truly made it in your heart, you were moved from darkness to light. I want you to come when we've broken bread together, and we'll pray with you, and we'll just help you understand exactly what you've just done. But right now, we're going to break bread. But I want, this is a leadership team. This is a ministry of multiple people, and I asked somebody else to do the breaking of bread before, and I'm not going to take that away now. So Ella, would you come? Pastor Ella, come and do that, please, break bread. And those people who raise their hands, well, as the bread's going round, how are you going to do it? Just pass it round, yeah. As the bread's going round, if you come out to the front, those who gave their lives to the Lord just now, and we'll pray together. Here at the front, Jesus did it on a cross in front of everybody. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Come and we'll pray together. And everybody in this place will rejoice for you that you've joined our family. Amen.